The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Are we living near the end of an age? Are vast changes about to take place all around us? My friends, where will all this lead? What can you do to protect yourself and your loved ones? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, are we at the end of an age? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
President John F. Kennedy said, mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind. Yet small and medium-sized wars are breaking out all over the world, in Asia, in Africa, in the Middle East, and in the Balkans. Terrorist nations are now in control of atomic and biological weapons. The world is in greater danger now, than many experts tell us, than ever before. And let us not forget the rapid rise in juvenile crime and violence. Generation X is on the way. These wild youths will be in their 20s within a few years, a big generation in numbers, and yet the experts predict that because of this, crime will soon go way up. The Creator God speaks of our time and His inspired Word. I hope all of you who have a Bible will get one. Some of you may not read your Bible, but it's time you do so. The great God of creation, the God that gives you life and breath, is about to intervene. We need to understand what He says, what His inspired Word says about our time, the times in which we're living right now. So go get your Bible. Check up on me. Prove these things out of your Bible. I'm turning to 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning reading here in verse 1. For know this, Paul writes, in the last days, and so you'll notice here he's talking about the last days, the end of this age, the time just before the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth as King of Kings. In the last days, perilous times will come. We're living in those times, perilous times, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Does that ring true to a lot of you? Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. People don't like others that are really doing right. They don't like good anymore. They seem to want to grovel in the dirt in every way they can, on television, in the motion pictures, all around us we see this going on. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Yes, that's our generation, my friends. Having a form of godliness. Oh, they go to church, many of them. They talk about God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Denying the authority of God. Denying the authority of this book. That's what they're doing. They don't do what the Bible says. And they're not really interested in what the Bible says in all too many cases. But they're willing to twist it and pervert it and not read it. That's why I'm reading you these verses. Some religious preachers come out and say, the Bible says, and the Bible says no such thing. That's why you need to check up on me and check up on the others. Check up on everyone who claims to preach the Bible and be sure that, in fact, the Bible does say what they're claiming that it says. Having a form of godliness but denying its authority or its power. From such people turn away. Picture the crime and violence all around us now in our cities, everywhere. People, businesses, banks being robbed continually. People being murdered almost every hour of every day. In fact, it's more than one every hour. Entire sections of our major cities are now unsafe to almost anyone. We're living in fear, and yet we call ourselves the United States, the land of the free and the home of the brave. The land of the free, when we can't even go into vast sections of our cities because we're afraid. What's going on? What's going on, friends? Think about it. We truly do have a form of godliness, many people, but we certainly deny its power. We don't live that way. we will not obey the God we claim to believe in. We will not follow His ways. So where are we headed? Notice what your Bible says. Turn to 2 Timothy 3. We're right here. Let's start in verse 12 now. I'm skipping down to verse 12 of this same chapter. Paul writes, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And evil men will wax worse and worse," the Bible says, as it goes on here. Evil men, false religious leaders, political leaders, other people are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what your Bible says. Until Jesus Christ, the nations of this world will not be taught the ways of God. They will get off into more war, more violence, more pagan religious practices than ever before. And we need to recognize that. They talk about God, but they don't do what this book says. No way. Notice in Mark chapter 13, turn back to the Gospel of Mark and let's see what Jesus Christ directly talked about regarding our time, the end of the age, the time just before His second coming. Back in Mark chapter 13 and beginning in verse 3, "Now Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked Him privately." They were asking Him about what's going to happen at the end of the age. That's the whole topic here, as you will see. And Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was telling them what is going to happen in your lifetime, in my lifetime, in the years just ahead of us. "Tell us," as they ask Him, "when will these things be? What will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" And then Jesus answered, "Take heed that no one deceives you." He's talking about vast hundreds of millions of people being deceived. He makes this very plain. "For many will come in my name," not a few, "many, saying, I am He, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." A different Greek word. First we have local wars, nation against nation, then a different Greek word, meaning alliances of nations. World war, kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in various places. Those earthquakes are now increasing, my friends, and they're going to keep on getting worse and worse. The scientists don't know that. They can't tell you that. But I can tell you that on the authority of this book. These earthquakes are going to get worse and worse. And there will be famines and troubles. Famine right here in the United States, Canada, Britain, and our English-speaking nations. It's going to happen. It's going to affect your life more than you could possibly imagine. Listen, these things will occur. These are the beginning of sorrows. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you, God's true people, up to councils. And you will be beaten in the synagogues or the churches, and you will be brought before kings and rulers. God's true servants will be brought, perhaps, before kings and governors and presidents and congressional committees and courts and places like that. Somewhere on earth, there are going to be some people of God who are preaching the absolute truth, the purpose of human existence. And as they preach more powerfully and the work increases, they will be hated. They will be persecuted. Men killed nearly every great prophet of God or persecuted them in one way or the other. And Jesus Christ came, the very Son of God. Did they love Him? Did they receive Him? Did they obey Him? No, they killed Him. Think about it. Be logical. That is what human beings have always done to the true servants of God. And let's recognize that. "You will be brought before kings and rulers for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations." This message of the coming government of God must go out. "And when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you're going to say, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now, brother will betray brother to death. Whole families will be divided at the time of the end. Brother will deliver up brother, a father, a child, and children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated, the true servants of God." Imagine it. The true servants of God. "You will be hated," Jesus told His followers, and He's talking about His followers, at the time of the end, just before His second coming. "You will be hated by all men for my name's sake." That's what the Son of God actually said. But he who endures to the end, who endures the trouble, who has the faith, who has the courage to keep right on doing the work of God, obeying God, honoring God, that man or those people shall be saved. Yes, at the time of the end, there are going to be many false Christs, many false prophets, many people deceiving others. And we need to recognize that fact. Jesus said down in verse 22 here, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders and deceive, if possible, even the elect." Even the elect will be deceived. That's so important that we understand that. Many false prophets are rising and false miracles. But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days, notice this, he's talking about our time, the years just ahead of us, after the tribulation. There's going to be a great tribulation then on our peoples and on the true saints of God. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Supernatural power, supernatural intervention from God Almighty. The stars of heaven will fall and the power of the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. The great glory of the coming Christ, his face blazing like the sun in full strength. He's coming back in magnificent glory, something we cannot fully understand. But it's going to happen, and you, many of you, will live to see that time. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the furthest part of heaven to the furthest part of earth. And so that's going to happen as Christ comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Godspeed that day. At this point, I urge you to call or write for a free audio tape of this program. This will help you to go back and study and prove these vital things to yourself. And you may wish to share this powerful message with family or friends. This tape will be sent absolutely free upon your request. So write or call us soon.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579, that's 1-800-934-5579, or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
Now back to our topic, my friends. We were in Mark going through prophecy, the prophecy of the end time. Notice again, Mark chapter 13, I'm going to begin reading once again, verse 22. Jesus said, just before the end time, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive the elect, if possible." Think about this. False miracles. Men working miracles that will shake the nations and make them think that the God is intervening, and yet God is not intervening. They're going to shake many people up. "But take heed," he said, "I have told you all these things beforehand." He had warned these people personally about this, and he's telling us here in his inspired word. Be sure you check up on anyone claiming to be a true minister of God. See if they're teaching what God actually says. They may seem to have miracles. They may seem to have shining crucifixes or lights in the night or things like this or that. But your Bible says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Now notice a powerful warning regarding something specific to watch for. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and see what the Apostle Paul tells us here under inspiration to watch for at the time of the end. As you will see, this is definitely an end time prophecy. 2 Thessalonians in your Bible. Follow me. Check up on me. See what God says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," as was what's going to happen leading right up to Christ's coming and our gathering together to him, "we ask you not to be soon shaken or in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if the day of Christ had come." Don't think Christ is going to come unless there are certain things happen first, Paul is saying. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away," the Greek word is apostasia, "a great falling away come first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. There has to be a great man of sin that's going to be revealed at the end of this age, the son of perdition or destruction, who opposes and exalts himself, notice, above all that is called God. This man really comes on strong. He's looked to by human beings as a virtual God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, at least he claims that the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This man being exalted like God himself. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you about these things? Paul warned them in person about this coming false prophet. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Even back at that time, it was beginning. A mystery of lawlessness. Jesus Christ taught his disciples. He said, if you want to enter the kingdom, if you want to enter eternal life, keep the commandments. Read it back in Matthew 19:17. He told the young man who asked the way to eternal life, he said, if you would enter into life, keep the commandments. Jesus expounded and magnified the commandments all the way through the Sermon on the Mount. He told us to live that way of life, the Ten Commandments, telling us how to love God and how to love man. But he talks now about a mystery system that was to rise up after the death of the early apostles, a mystery of lawlessness, turning people away from that way of life, turning people away from obedience to God and to just pagan practices and rituals and things like that that had nothing to do with the whole purpose of God at all. He says it's already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And that might have been Paul himself restraining this mystery from rising up among the Gentiles. And then the lawless one. Lawless, breaking God's law, not just the traffic laws of man. This man undermines by his teachings, by his practices, by the paganism he brings in, the ways and the laws of God. Then will the lawless one be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. This man lives right up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Christ will destroy him and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Great power. But where does that power come from? That power comes from the invisible God of this world, who is called in your Bible Satan the devil. Read of it in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, how Satan deceives all the nations. The whole world is deceived by him. Many people can't grasp that, but that's what your Bible says nevertheless. So this man is going to come with power and signs, great miracles and lying wonders, and with unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth. God wants us to believe this book. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." That's in John 17, verse 17. "Thy word is truth." And we've got to understand that. Study this book. Then you'll know what's going to happen and what to do about it. These people did not believe the truth, did not want to believe it, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so they're going to fall for this deception that's going to rise up. And this deception is already working in our society in a powerful way right now, and has been ever since the death of the original apostles, for that matter. Think about all the churches and all the people with all kinds of religious ideas and practices. Most of them are in utter confusion. Your Bible reveals that most of these people will be deceived by this coming great false prophet. Will you be deceived? I'm asking you personally, John Doe or Jane Smith, whatever your name is, will you be deceived? Most of you will. Most of you will, unless you're willing to really open your mind and open your heart and not just believe me, but believe what you read in your Bible and study the Bible with an open mind, perhaps in a way that you've never done so before. Let's turn now to Revelation in the Bible and get more insight into what God says about this great deception that is coming. The book of Revelation, and I'm going to begin reading in Revelation 13 and verse 1. Here he's describing a revival of the Babylonian system that has been from the very beginning as far as God's prophecies are concerned. You may remember this system being described back in the book of Daniel. But he says here in Revelation 13, in your Bible, follow me, check up, verse 1, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. He usually calls these great Gentile kingdoms beasts, and that's one of these that we're seeing described here. And on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. And that the beast which I saw was like a leopard." So he had the speed of a leopard and the agility. His feet were like the feet of a bear. You may remember in the big prophecy, which we've described before on this program, back in Daniel 2 and Daniel 4, how the, of course, Babylonian system was looked like a lion. And then how the Medo-Persian Empire was, of course, like a bear. And then the empire of Alexander the Great was like a leopard, very swift and very fast. This beast has the strengths of all of them. And so he has then finally the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, who's the dragon? He's identified in this book right here as Satan the devil, back in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. "The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority." He gave authority to this false man, this great powerful political leader over this system. "And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded." One of the leaders of this system was killed at one point and just snuffed out. We find that happened back in 476 AD when the Roman Empire fell. Many students recognize this is talking about the final great system using the strengths of all the others, and it became the Roman Empire. "And it was mortally wounded, and the deadly wound was healed. Justinian revived the Roman Empire in 554, and all the world marveled and followed the beast." So they worshiped the dragon. They ended up worshiping Satan the devil, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, not that they thought he was a great religious leader, but they worshiped him. Worship means giving awe and reverence and so forth, because they said, "Who is like the beast? Who was able to make war with him?" You see? Who is able to make war with him? That's the thing that caused him to worship the beast, the power that he had. "And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Now, the Bible reveals, of course, in Numbers 14:34 and some other scriptures, that often God uses a day for a year in biblical prophecy. And here, 42 months, if you figure out, God always has 30-day months in biblical prophecy, that would be 1,260 days. Multiply, of course, 42 by 342 months here by the number of days, and you'll come out with that. 1,260 days, meaning literally 1,260 years in this long-range prophecy. And you'll see that from 554, when Justinian revived the Roman Empire, until 1814, when Napoleon fell, that it was exactly that period of time. Exactly, 1,260 years. "Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name." At the very end, he comes on even stronger, the leader of this system, "his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted him at the time of the end now to make war with the saints and overcome them." This great false leader is going to overcome the saints of God. "And authority was given him over every tribe and tongue and nation." Every tribe and tongue and nation. This man is going to have eventually worldwide authority, and it's going to affect your life. Everything around you is going to change because of this great political leader allied with the great religious leader who's called the false prophet in your Bible. "And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life, which slain of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has ear to hear, let him hear." God tells us to open our minds, open our hearts, be willing to listen, be willing to understand. "He who leads into captivity will go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword." This is what we need to understand. But notice in verse 11, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb." Who's the lamb? Jesus Christ. So he looked like the lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And the dragon is identified as Satan the devil. So this man looks like the lamb. He appears to be like Jesus Christ, but his message is the message of Satan the devil. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell on it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He causes them to worship this great powerful military system. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven. Does that sound familiar? That's what we just got through reading, my friends, back in 2 Thessalonians. This false religious leader causes fire to come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling all those who dwell on the earth to worship the beast. Of course, tell all those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Yes, this great religious leader turns people toward this military political system, so people end up worshiping that system and following it and are afraid to do otherwise. What's the key as to where God's people are? What's the key as to what you should be doing, my friends? Turn over one chapter, Revelation 14 and verse 12. Here's what God's Word says right here in this same area of the Bible. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Here's the key as to what you should be doing. Keep the commandments of God and have the faith, not just faith in Christ, but the faith of Jesus Christ. That's so important. In Luke 21, verse 36, God tells us, turn to Luke 21, verse 36, and we find here that God tells us, watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape these things that shall come and to stand before the Son of Man. You've got to watch these events and pray. Again, be sure to call or write for a free audio cassette tape of this program. This will help you to study and prove these things to yourself.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free without any cost or obligation if you call 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
And be sure to tune in to Tomorrow's World program again next week. I'll be continuing in this series on Bible prophecies. See you right here next week at this same time.
Call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Produced by the Living Church of God.